Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialists are back, and today I'm doing my predictions and power rankings for episode 3 of Survivor 48 with Gordon Holmes, the man who essentially made this podcast happen in the first place. I know he does the hand. I said that to him in person, and he was like, all right, I'm trying to walk away from you. Why won't you leave me alone, man? Like, get out of here. But I have been following Gordon Holmes since I told him this, since Jackie was in her stupid little circular rowboat thing and couldn't move. And I was like, who is this guy who knew that Jackie, the invisible Jackie, was going to get voted out somewhat soon on Survivor Gabon? So I've been following you that long. Is that the first season you did it?
That is the very first season I ever covered Survivor. So, and that's Jackie, J-A-C-Q-U-I-E.
I don't remember if there's an E at the end. You definitely spelled it's the rest of it. Right. Is there an E?
Yeah,
that was Survivor on the brain. They didn't have an E at the end of her. So
yeah, I've been doing this since 17. Old man.
Yeah. And I remember during 18, I was following your coverage and it was around, I don't want to have my wife over here in case she's listening. So Rachel, if you are listening, tune out for like 3 seconds, but in season 18, I'm watching that season. And it was around final 8, you ranked somebody very, very low at the bottom of your power rankings. And I was like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And wouldn't you know it, that person got 8th place on that season. Future winner of Survivor.
Here's the thing, Phil. Even a blind squirrel will find a nut every now and then. And if you have been following any power rankings I've been doing lately, that blind squirrel is not me, because I've been getting thumped royally by many Survivor cast members as of late. So,
your best showing in the new era?
New era, like, not even like, I think what was it? I did with Owen, I did with Franny, and then Owen, Franny, and I took on the Reba 4 minus D plus. Wait, like, there's actually a bunch of people that season, but like, there's no high point, there's no nothing to be excited about or happy or proud of, how it's been going. And we've been doing some really extravagant bets too, like when Owen was playing, you know, if I won, I got to be his best man, didn't happen. When I played against Franny, I was like, if you ever get engaged, I get to be the maid of honor. Didn't happen. So it's been embarrassing, to be honest with you. It's not a perfect science, this thing. You know, we don't see everything that happens out there. So, you know, I can't be held completely responsible.
That would have been great if you could have been best man and maid of honor at 2 Survivor weddings not far apart. I mean, I guess Franny and Matt aren't engaged yet, right?
No, not that I know of. And in my defense, Power Rankings originally started during Survivor Tonkinchins, the Brazilian Highlands. It wasn't the new era, man. The game wasn't a monster or whatever Jeff was selling to us a couple of years ago. There was A idol per side, you know, no hourglasses, no island of excessive advantages. So it was a little easier to predict back in the day. So in my defense.
And I will say, like, you, myself, this is season 17, 18, 19. That's when I really started getting into this world. And I was in like late high school, early college. That's when this was happening. But yeah, I know I didn't mean to like age you there, but just so like people can understand, because I know we have a lot of late high school, early college people who are listening now, which makes me sad because they're like, oh yeah, I started in season 27. And I'm like, oh really? They're like, yeah, I was in like fourth grade. I'm like, oh God. But I started following along during that time. And so I really was following you. I was following Dalton. And you guys were doing the whole thing with, there is another tribe on Samoa, by the way, everybody. Like, don't forget. And I remember that. I think that was around the time when you started doing, like, you know, you didn't show your work, so I can't rank you. Because it was just like Galoo was a tribe on Samoa. And we all sat through that. Now a lot of people will watch Samoa and they pretty much just like roll through it and they keep going when they're, you know, when you're binge watching shows now, it's so different. And they're like, oh, well, I like this person. I like that person. It's like, no, we literally didn't know who Brett was during Samoa when you were watching week to week. Like,
it that was the, it was the Russell Hantz show. Samoa. Correct me if I'm wrong. I want to say that the ads were even like, you're not going to believe this guy like that. Like, that's how, like, normally it's like, you know, just quick cuts of like torches and, you know, people running on a beach, whatever. This was all like, you guys are going to love Russell Hantz was basically every advertisement.
Let me see if I can find the quote from Jeff Probst. He said it was like literally a quote, and I can't find it. I'm not shocked. I can't find it right away. But when he was promoting Samoa, he said, Russell Hantz is the closest thing to pure evil we've ever had on the show. Like something along those lines. Very close. I think that might almost be verbatim, guys. And it's funny now to see the new era where it's like, aren't these the most wonderful 18 people you've ever met? Like, we don't want villains. We want everybody to be happy. We want everybody to be joyful. Back then, that's what he's promoting.
Give me villains. Oh, yeah. All day long. You know, my wife is funny because she's not a big reality TV fan. And I think it kind of bothers her to watch people lie to one another. Despite the fact that she super got into Traitors, doesn't like Survivor, likes Traitors. And it's a thing where I'm the opposite. I'm like, give me my Fair Play, give me my Hantz, give me like some legitimate villains out there. So, we'll get into this, but like thumbs up to David, for having a bit of that villain DNA in him, kind of like a nice villain, but he's still got time.
And I think Say's got a little bit too. I mean, Say has been something else out on the island. She said she has no filter, and so far she really hasn't had much of a filter. And I think it's been making for really entertaining TV. When she said to Stephanie, "Can we get off the stars or whatever it was?" in that first tribal council, there was a hush that fell over the audience when we were watching that one live. It was something else.
Yeah, I think Say's got like big Tony Vlachos energy, which I'm a Tony Vlachos guy all day long, so I'm here for it. Is that the kids say I'm here for it? Was that the young people watching this? Was that?
I have no idea. Okay. I have no idea. I don't know. People were saying stuff to me. I went to the Bryce and Wendell event in LA this week, and people were saying stuff to me where it was like, I don't know what those four words mean when they're strung together like that. Like, I have no idea what you just said, but I think it was all positive. Maybe, or, you know, what are you thinking so far about this season? We're two episodes in. What do you got?
You know, it's, My issue with the new era has been, I kind of feel like it's like a fantasy camp, almost like, you know, like the people go down to Florida to do spring training with baseball, and they'll have them run drills and have them do this and they'll play a game. And it's probably the exact same experience year after year, which is kind of what I'm feeling about Survivor now, where, you know, I kind of feel like it's fallen into this three tribes opening challenge. Earn your supplies, you know, like, and like, you know, one tribe gets decimated and earn the merge, all these things. It's kind of, I said this before, earlier before we got on, like Survivor is like pizza, even when it's bad, it's still good. But it is a thing where it's like, I'm really looking forward to 50. I love the idea that there might be two tribes and no fire making and just switching it up. Like I was saying, my wife does not watch Survivor, and we just had this conversation the other day where I was telling her about like Colby Donaldson, you know, when he was in Survivor Australia. I think they had more freedom to go and explore, where I think the tribes might not have that anymore. You know, we're seeing the same beaches season after season, and I get the reality of the financial side of it. But, you know, Colby talked about how when he came back for heroes versus villains, it wasn't an adventure anymore. They couldn't explore as much. You couldn't get out there and do things. I used to kind of like that stuff. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I love strategy. I love idols. I love all of these things, but I also love the adventure, getting out there and learning and things like that, where I feel like it's kind of lost now. I feel like all these seasons are kind of blending together. I think if you and I went to the Island of Excessive Advantages and the challenge was put the face of the winner next to the number of the winner, I couldn't do it. I can't remember which one is 43 and which one is 42 and et cetera. Even though, you know, I interview all these people and, you know, I watch it closely and write reports on it. It's mm-hmm. kind of a, I want them to shake things up. I want them to bring subheads back. I want them to get away from the numbers. If, you know,
I get that. And I could do the winners. For me, it's when you start getting into the 16th, 17th, 18th. I mean, if you ask me, Kel Gleeson, 15th place Australian Survivor or, you know, Australian Outback. I could tell you that, right? Like off the top of my head, Penny Ramsey was my favorite. I had Brian Corden on for a podcast once. And I was like, okay, Brian, you're so smart. Who finished 7th on Thailand? He's like, Penny Ramsey. She's from here. This, that. I was like, okay, first of all, why do you know all this? But that's why that always sticks in my head, right? I always that think is, about.
We are the opposite person. By the way, you and I, like, we're getting along famously. I'm enjoying this. We are the opposite human being. My memory does not work that way.
I mean, I always think too, back during Panama, and then when they were doing the stuff for Heroes versus Villains, Dalton kept on making the push to Jeff to have Sally come on the show. She needed to be brought back a second time, right? And for so, sure. Like, I can remember, okay, what place did Sally get? Well, she went after Nick, she went after Austin, so she was eighth place, right? And then it was everybody else fell apart. But it's the newer era where, you know, I got to meet Zach Wurtenberger and then I got to meet Sarah Wilson both this week, and they were both awesome. I've had Zach on the podcast, never had Sarah, but like meeting both of them, you sit there, you talk to them, you're like, oh my God, this is great. You have a conversation about anything. And then I say to myself, I'm like, okay, wait, so Zach was 42, not 44. And who was 44, 17th? But, and like, it's not that, like, and then I start to remember, okay, Maddie was 44, whatever. But there's a lot more thought that goes into it where it's like Africa, Jesse Camacho, boom, in my head. Like, I can remember that immediately.
And if how you, were can to you say, forget Jesse Camacho?
How can you forget Jesse Camacho? But if you say like season 9, I think Vanuatu, now I put the pieces together. When you say 43, I have to say, okay, that was Gabler. Now let me put the rest of the season together behind him. And it's worse for like the pre-mergers, especially with how fast these seasons move, it feels like. It can be, you can get lost in, wait, what advantage happened here? What advantage happened here? It seems like they're trying to find a happy medium, though, for people like us, where now we're not getting the adventure, but at least we're getting more of this fun, goofy camp life. Yeah. The whole Siva tribe last week, the humble trait scene, that was awesome. I miss that kind of stuff.
Which raises the question, Phil, what is your humble trait?
Oh, what is my humble trait? God, I have to think about that a little bit. I can't do the wart. That's not true. I've had mine removed. I had them on my finger. Those are gone.
Well, and the highlight of the whole thing, was it Chrissy who turned to Mitch and was like, what's your humble trait? And he's like, I have a stutter. Like,
that was so good.
Have we not discussed this?
Yeah, that was so good. I mean, I have very hairy feet. When I used to work at a pool company, the guy told me that I had hobbit feet. That was what he always referred to me. But I loved wearing flip-flops, so people made fun of me for that. I don't know if that's like a weird thing or not. I don't know. What do you got, Gore? You're looking at me funny.
Hairy. Everything. I think everybody has hairy feet. Mine was like I have the weird thumbs.
Oh, I can't do that.
And I can like bend them back, which I know grosses people out. I have some people think this is a humble brag. It is not. I have a long tongue and I bite it with such frequency. It is like people are like, oh, that's awesome. It is not. It is not a cool thing.
Well, here, I just texted my wife and said, what's my humble trait? So we should hopefully get one good soon. You know, I just always look at the positive. That's the problem. I'm always so positive.
Mr. I don't even know. I don't even know what my humble trait is.
I could get into like detail about the massive surgery I had to have during 43, but that would probably gross everybody out here. So we don't need to get into that one, right? I guess there's my humble trait. I'm missing 3 inches of my colon now. So it's like, there you go. That's fun, right, Gordon?
I like how you say you're missing. Like it just has anybody seen?
I know.
Inches of my colon?
I went to bed. I woke up. It wasn't there. That's all I know. That's true.
They didn't let you keep it in a jar.
Yeah, I can't do anything cool with like my thumbs. I feel like I'm Kyle in this situation. I'm very average at a lot of things. And that adds up to like, well, there's nothing that really stands out, but there's nothing that really falters too much.
Every now and then I'll see like a celebrity be like, hey, and they've got it too. And I feel like a closeness. Like, I don't feel alone in the world anymore.
If Dylan Efron would have done that when he was like giving thumbs up in the Traders, would you have just lost your mind? That would have been it.
I would have. But I was saying my wife does not care about Survivor, loved Traders so much. And like, I enjoy Traders. I don't think Traders is a good game.
Yeah, I agree.
So all the while she's like, what if they do this? I'm like, it doesn't matter because nothing.
We have a hard time separating it. Trust me, Will and I, we got yelled at a lot by some Danielle fans and everything in the comments who were like, you guys need to figure out how to watch this show because this isn't it. And, you know, you're so negative. We're not listening anymore. I'm like, okay.
Dalton Ross has been trying to get me to watch Big Brother forever. And it's like, he's like, I watch Survivor and Survivor needs to be a great game. Because that's the love I have for it. Big Brother I watched because it's fun and I appreciate it's not a great game. And that's how I feel about Traders. Like, oh, every Thursday, you know, as soon as we get the kid to bed, Traders is going on Peacock. But like, I don't know if it's a good game. Like, they're like, well, I think you're a trader because of X, Y, and Z. And it's like, well, all of that's just your opinion. So yeah, it's like, I can enjoy it and still not love the nuts and bolts of it.
Yeah. That's where we're at. I try to watch it like tuning out, but it gets a little Bravo-y for me, which like I'm not really into those kinds of shows. And then Will and I come on here and try to dissect it like it's Survivor. And we end up sounding like idiots for half of it because it's like, well, they're not playing the same game. And Survivor, the goal is the same for everyone. In the Traders, it's not, which makes it hard.
So. Well, Deal or No Deal Island, we're not going to ever talk about Survivor. It's another one where it's like, I think I had tweeted something like, I hate how people act like you can be good at Deal or No Deal. They're like, oh, well, he's really good at picking cases. Like, no, he's not. Like, there's nothing, it's going on nothing. And I think it was Christian from David versus Goliath who was like, you're 100% right. And the fact that a genius had my back on that made me feel, a mathematic genius at that, made me feel very good about my thoughts on Deal or No Deal Island.
Did you watch this season when Dr. Will went one?
Yeah, I'll watch anything my people are on, I will watch. So I watched, was it Snake in the Grass that Malcolm won?
Yeah, I didn't watch that one. That was the only one I haven't watched.
Malcolm's my boyfriend. I love him so much. I accidentally texted him and I meant to text my, I was like, we're meeting up for a date when my wife and I were dating. I'm like, hey, I'm at, you know, at this intersection. I'll be there in 5 minutes. And it hurt him that I was out to see somebody else. But yeah, if any of my people are on a show, I'll watch it. Because I do like the idea of survivors getting money. Although Jeff, with the controversial not liking to see his people in other shows, which I get, like, you know, you do. I imagine when you bring them back, you want them to feel special. But like, come on, like, how can you turn that down?
Yeah, and that's how I feel, because there's no guarantee you're ever going to get on Survivor. Yeah. And a lot of these people, I mean, like Rick Devins and Dom Abate seemed like locks after they played the first time. Angelina as well. But now it's like Angelina has two kids. Dom and Rick, are they doing different things? Are they going to have enough room for them, all of them on the cast? I mean, those are the three. And Christian. Those are the four who stand out to me the most from that like dead era of Survivor where you can't really find them anymore. So there's no guarantee. So I say, go do your thing, you know. But Malcolm only did Snake in the Grass, and like maybe Jeff didn't even catch that one. So I'll just ask this question off the bat. Season 50, is like Malcolm like the number one person you'd want to see on season 50?
Well, I have people I selfishly want to see because I'm close with them. And Malcolm hits both because I think he's great TV and I think he's a great person. We have like a comical like bromance, but I don't even know if it's comical anymore. We might just have a bromance. But whenever somebody's like, what's your 50 cast, I can't even, you got to give me more to go off of than just give me 20 names from the past 49 seasons. There's got to be, you know, a hook or something, or because it's such a vast, like you could go with the huge names again, or do you sprinkle in huge names along with younger people you want to become big names? And that's always kind of like the beauty of like any kind of like these like fans versus favorite seasons, is it gave people who were good a chance to kind of like leap up in our consciousness. So like, boy, I wouldn't even know how to begin with like a 50 cast. I was just gonna say somebody, the person I always go to for whose name just shot out of my head, but you'll probably help me out with this. He was on Survivor South Pacific. He was the poker player / weed salesperson.
Jim Rice
is always my go-to person we've all forgotten about, who I desperately want to get a second chance. He callbacks for Survivor put a idle note hit it in the waiting area that said, if you find this note, call out real loud that you found it and you'll get an idol when you get on the island as a prank. And somebody did it. So that to me is like, that earned him my eternal love and somebody I desperately want to see back. So that's my Christmas wish is Jim Rice.
And little do you know that it was actually Brad Reese who found that. And that's why when he woke up and sat by the fire one time, there was just an idol next to his foot on season 41. It actually worked out. Production loved it. No, that's great. I love Jim. I always just go, Malcolm comes to mind early here. And since you're talking about Malcolm, comes to mind early because that 34 boot just is like so unsatisfactory for the end. That can't be the end of his career. But you were saying the lower level people, like Parvati wasn't great in Cook Islands. And then all of a sudden fans were favorites. Now she's Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. So it's almost a shame that there isn't kind of like a Game Changers-esque thing in between now and then that might give somebody more heat leading into it. The another reason I want Malcolm back, and we can stop talking about Malcolm in a minute, but not right now. He has done worse each time he's gone out. And if I get to interview him beforehand, I got to bring that up just to scare the crap out of him.
And if assuming we're only going to have 18 players, because it seems like it's going to be 26 days, that would mean Malcolm would have to finish last on his next season to continue this trend. All right, well, let's dive into this cast before this whole cast is like, I hate when Phil and Gordon do this together because, all they want to talk about is the good times. But I feel like this is off to a good start. I feel like last week's episode was pretty exciting. The premiere, I thought, was very good. I thought the premiere was better than last week's, although last week's, we got into this green tribe that is just falling apart, and they ultimately decide to vote out Kevin. Right choice to boot Kevin here, or do you think they should have went with Mary or not told Say about the fact that they were going to vote for her and just blindside her with the idol? Because she seemed pretty confident until Cedric said that to her.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Say was probably going to be, was pretty in on the Mary vote, and she thought that's the way it was going to go. I think Cedric did save her. Was Kevin the right move? I think I understand everybody's motivations. I understand why Cedric doesn't want Say to go. I understand why Kevin wanted Say to go. I think I understand everything. Have you reached a point where you're just going to concede immunity challenges going forward? By getting rid of Kevin, Kevin, has shoulder issues as well. So was that a moot point at that then? It's a moot point. It's Cal's opinion. So was Kevin the right move? I think a lot of them are thinking about the merge, thinking about who they have going forward. And, if Cedric's number one, it makes sense to keep her. Mm-hmm. Justin, I think he might think he's also Cedric's number one. So it did make sense to me from a lot of people's standpoint. Mary had to be, what was she going to do? Nothing without a vote. So it made sense. I think if, as we, see yet another tribe, go the route of, getting picked off one by one, we don't get to know the other tribes so well, which is kind of hurtful. But with the 90 minutes, it helps with that. I think it was the right move, I guess. It's tough. Like, let's two tribes. If 50 lets us vote, Survivor Specialist Universe, you got to have my back. Two tribes.
Oh, yeah. No. Two tribes is one that we'll absolutely. Conchita likes your friends reference, so there you go. You got it in there. But I think two tribes is definitely the one that we are going to be leaning in really hard as a community. I think the fire. I actually went on the record and said I think fire is good, and I gave a whole bunch of reasons for that. And then you said it, and Will said it, and a couple other people have said it, where they said it's not that fire is bad; it's just that we want something different. And I was like, you know what? That's a good point. That is a very good point. That's fair. Maybe I should have voted the opposite way. When it comes to two or three tribes, two tribes, please just mix it up. I don't want to just see three tribes anymore. We I'm assuming next season is going to be three tribes. We have not had a two tribe season since season 40. Mix it up. Let's have it happen. And what's happening here is I almost feel like we've already seen this story that we're seeing right now from the Green Tribe, which is the story of Malcolm's first season. And it's coming down to Denise being in the middle of Russell and Malcolm. Well, that feels like Cedric being in the middle of Say and Justin. And they both feel good with him, but which one is actually going to be better off with him? Because Mary, to me, feels like she's living on borrowed time, feels like she has been for a little bit. Say is never going to work with Mary, in my opinion. So when I look at this, Justin felt good with Cedric, but Cedric went right to say, they're voting for you. Now, here's my question to you, because this was something that I was trying to figure out if it's going to matter at all. Cedric tells Say, we're all voting for you, play your idol tonight. Say does not get the majority of votes, but wastes her idol. Does that actually hurt her relationship with Cedric, you think?
Well, I think, didn't Cedric even say he was like, what made sense to me was Cedric to be like, you're going to blindside us with your idol. So all of us guys are going to vote for you. But I think Cedric said that he was going to vote, like he was going to vote for Mary or something like that. Like, mm-hmm. I remember watching it and being confused as to what the goal was. So, you know, Say did burn an idol that she didn't have to, you know, was that, I can't imagine that was part of the plan, but she might've been so on edge because of her name coming up. And being, you know, people plotting against her that she was just going to play it no matter what. But yeah, there is a very real possibility that she's annoyed with, you know, Justin and Cedric for not helping her save that idol. So hopefully we'll get more on that, you know, in the next episode.
And you had mentioned that you feel like we don't get to know the other tribes as well. I actually feel like the Green Tribe might be the tribe we know the least, because I feel like all we know is Say. I feel like they have spent a lot of time with Orange and with Purple. And I feel, you know, Thomas, Joe, we now see Star's frustrations, which we're also seeing on social media. We see Bianca where she stands. Oh, yeah, big time. And then with Siva, like Shaheen, which he also put up the thing, and I'm going to say his name correctly now every time.
I watched that Shaheen. Too.
Thank God. Yeah, I was definitely mixing it up.
Throw it right away.
Yeah, you can do Shaheen or Shaheen. But don't do Shaheen. That's the one that he was very annoyed on. And I think I've gone about 50-50 on Shaheen with a hard H and then Shaheen, which those are the two that are kind of not as good.
I'm going to try to toss the H, but if you catch me screwing it up, feel free to let me know.
Yes. Yes, I know. And I hope Will watches that too, because Will's going to come in on the next one and be like, Shaheen was great this episode. I'm gonna be like, that's a compliment, but it's Shaheen. Watch it. Or Shaheen. I got to get it. Shaheen. But I feel like we really know them. And I feel like over on Orange, we're seeing that Charity and Mitch are kind of a little bit on the outside. David, Camilla, Kyle, they're really close. Chrissy, we don't really know much about except how deep her belly button is, but which is crazy. Which, by the way, my wife just said, I don't think you have one. Wow.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
oh.
I know. I'm going to get, I think I have to take her to dinner now. It's insane.
How did we not get a, like I did the thumb. How did we not get a visual representation of how deep that belly button goes?
I thought you were about to like, you know, have like a visual representation ready. Right. Like props like and everything.
Deep, like I got weird toes. Boom. Immediately shots of the toes pays dividends down the line on the pole. Mm-hmm. Come on, Chrissy.
I know. They had to go find like a stick or something and be like, all right, Chrissy. That would be the weirdest
thing
probably ever. Or
the producers dropped the ball the next time she had a testimonial, didn't show up with like a tape measure or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I feel like do you feel like Justin, Cedric and Mary, do you feel like you actually know them better than you know like the top contenders on the other tribes?
I think that's you're making a good point there. I think that my big question mark is right now is Charity and like, why? Like, we know she's on the outside. I don't know why she's, I don't, or at least they haven't done a good job making me understand it or appreciate it. But yeah, I can see that. Like, you know, I, you know, Justin obviously felt comfortable enough to go to Cedric with his plan to get rid of Kevin, but we haven't seen enough of them. Like, how close are they, you know, does Cedric feel closer to Say or does he feel closer to Justin? So, you know, there are still a lot of question marks as far as that tribe goes, other than, you know, there's a guy Alliance Say was on the outside and Mary, obviously, was an easy target. Maybe too easy because they felt comfortable going in another direction.
Yeah. And do you do preseason winter picks, anything like that, or no? Since I, because you get to go out on location, right?
So I got it right. No, what I used to do is I would go out, you know, and when you, I go to Survivor locations on occasion, and you're there for the first, you know, you're there pregame, you interview the cast, you interview the crew, interview probes, et cetera. And then you're there for the first 3 days. So you get to see like the first tribal council. So you leave with a decent understanding of how at least one tribe is working, except for 40, we got to see the first two tribals. So then like from then we would always kind of gather together and get together our winter picks from there. You know, honestly, when I'm not out, I don't kind of like dive into it as much like preseason. So I'm not comfortable making winning pick, but like, you know, as you said, I've been doing this since 17. I've only gotten it right once. And that was Wendell at Ghost Island. And I think that was almost a unanimous pick amongst the Survivor press. I think all of us were kind of team Wendell. So I don't have a winner pick. If I had to, you know, with a gun to my head, you know, Shaheen, I think that Shaheen, I think is a great pick. I have to check my notes because I'm horrific with names. I love
no, Tom. But it's fine. The other reason why I asked this is Charity was, I thought coming into this game, had the best chance of any of the women on the island to win. And you brought up, we don't really know why she's on the bottom.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I'm confused.
Maybe she doesn't have a humble trait.
She does, though. Her toes are weird.
Oh, that's right. She's got the weird toes. Okay.
Yeah. Her toes are weird. Kyle's isn't a real humble trait. I'm just saying. Kyle's isn't a real... You have a the wart. That's not a real humble trait.
He didn't know, though. He just thought it was...
That's like more of Kyle's brain, though, than like a physical humble trait, right? Like, yeah. That's more on Kyle. Actually,
it's an easily remedied humble trait, as well as four nipples, apparently. He got that taken care of as well.
Exactly.
Just like now Chandler Bing had an extra nipple.
You're just loving the Friends references.
I'm just like, made for you. I know that Friends references play here. I'm just going to keep ringing that bell.
That's it. Oh no. Yep. Oh no. Sorry, I'll try to get through. I mean, I like Friends a lot. I just know that if that number up in the top left corner that says how many people are watching starts dropping, I'd be like, no more Friends references. Enough with Friends. Go back to talking about Malcolm and his shaky hands.
I love him so much.
Breaks my heart still to this day. All right. Let's actually start ranking a little bit here because I feel like that'll actually get us talking about others, right? And this is what you were born to do. I mean, this I never thought you have to think about this, right? When I read your season 17, that was what, 2009, right? That's right.
I went in 08, so was it it aired in or did it air fall 08?
Because it was odd seasons are the spring, right? I'm wrong. No, we're in an. What are we talking about?
Yeah, we're in an even season. Yeah, so that would have been fall.
Fall,
and it was so different back then because I didn't because it, like the way I became a Survivor guy was a total fluke. I was in charge of like shopping for Comcast, and they invited us to go. They invited our TV team to go to Survivor, and they were all like, "No, thanks." And then they knew I liked the show and they're like, "Do you want to go?" And I was like, "Hell's yes." And that became my thing. But I don't think I knew where I was even going until the Survivor finale when Jeff is like, "Look where we're going next." Because I feel like I was upstairs doing something and my girlfriend at the time called up to me, "You're going to Africa." And me being shocked.
Well, I was 17 years old reading your stuff and being like, "This is cool. This is great." And now I'm here ranking Survivor players with you, and you know it's cool.
I get a lot of credit for coming up with power rankings. I don't know if I did. I think I might have come up with the rules we use. Because do you do scoring?
Yeah, we do the scoring as just whoever goes home. Gotcha. So we rank them. Who is your safe? We're essentially doing it. Who's your safest for this week? We don't do it as who do you think is going to win the game. We try to do safest. And I had during season 32, I was all over Michelle at the beginning of the season. And I said, Michelle's going to win. She was from my part of New Jersey and people were getting so aggravated that I started trolling and putting her at number one every week. And then when they did the tribe swap where her, Anna and Julia all got separated, that was the only week where I was like, all right, Michelle's like 12. Okay. I'm going to do that. Cause I got to play for the points. And then after that, I went right back to putting her at one every week. So we do play for the points. So whoever you have at 16 is who you're saying is going to go home. How did Rome do last week? I wrote it down. Let me see how Rome did.
Rome here. Probably knew how everything ends up anyway. So can't trust that Rome.
No comment. I know. Well, who let that podcast get out there? Who did that interview with him?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember either. He had who went home last week? Kevin. He had Kevin at 4. So not a good showing from
Rome. Oh, okay. Maybe he doesn't.
Not a good showing from Rome. Although his showing on the reality on the Purple Pants podcast this week was a good showing when he started talking about Q and how him and Q won the same amount of individual immunities. Love that kind of trash talk. That's my favorite.
If Q and Rome want to get into it, I'm happy to watch.
Please. That's a 50 thing. Okay. I'll let you go first. Who do you think is the safest this week?
All right. In spot one, I have Shaheen. He is obviously trusted enough that Star would come to him with her cryptex, and kudos to him for not taking Thomas's advice and just chucking that thing in the ocean. Here's my question. I like to think that my superpower is I'm pretty good at thinking outside the box. When they did the rock, paper, scissors number, they were like, whoever has the lowest number that nobody else has wins. And I was like, zero is a number. Nobody did that. So I don't like...
They make it 1 through 5 because it's actually in the Survivor board game. which is right here, and they specify 1 through 5 in it.
Damn it. Anywho, but if that wasn't in the rules, these are the kinds of things that probably drive my tribe nuts and get me voted out first. But like I said, I do have to. So my question is, he's got the cryptex. She's guarding, right? He pops it open. Since he has possession of it, does he have to give it to her? Can he slide some rocks in there and close it right back up while he's got an idol? That was my question. But you know, he seems like a good, honest guy. He didn't take Thomas's advice to totally screw her over. Although it didn't cross my mind that it's like, it's entirely possible that cryptex never opens.
Yeah.
Like that's a challenging puzzle. If you can't figure it out, you can't figure it out. Is there a world where Star never gets her vote back and somehow wins? That would be the ultimate underdog story. But obviously he's liked, you know, he's in the California Girls Alliance. I think they are rock solid. So I think Shaheen is super safe this week. So he is my number one pick.
Yeah. So I want to talk about some of this cryptex stuff, because this is a question Will and I were asking as well. Star picked up the Beware advantage. So she's the one who would lose her vote at the next tribal council if she doesn't get that open, but she gives it to Shaheen. And now Shaheen has it. And so he has it in his possession. And if he fiddles with that and opens it, I have the same question you do. Does he have to now go give that to Star? Because technically it's her Beware advantage, because she can't transfer it to him. And now he's the one who doesn't have his vote, because that's what the paper says is right. If you pick this up, you lose your vote. You can't then say, oh, I'm going to do whatever. Because I think we saw this a couple of seasons ago where the one person said, I'm not going to pick it up. And the other person was like, I'll do it. I'll take it from you. And so then they were able to play with it. I was confused on this too. If Shaheen opens this, what happens? Because the same thing that happened, Camilla opened Kyle's and then just gave it back to Kyle. And I don't feel like it's anybody else's. It feels like Game Changers when Sarah Lucina gives Ceri whatever that advantage was. I forget exactly what advantage it was. And Ceri goes to play it. And Sarah says, no, that can't be transferred. And Jeff says, Sarah's right. Ceri, you have to give it back.
Yeah, I think I would imagine he doesn't have to give it to her, but he can't keep it for himself. Like, I think there was a situation in One World where somebody had found somebody else's idol and like chucked it in the ocean, and production was like, you can't do that. And they had to give it back to him. Like, so I would imagine if he found it, if he was able to pop it open, he could hide it or he could do something else with it. But I don't think he'd be able to keep it and use it. But it does raise some interesting questions. But I think there's a world where Star never votes. At this point,
I could say, so now, do we think that there's going to be a I can't think of the word, but I think we saw it in 41 and 42 where they would lose their vote for the rest of the pre-merge, and then once they hit the merge they were able to vote again if they had never figured out what was happening on the beach, because there is a world where Star now gets somewhere and yes, she can carry this around with her. So I guess this one you could technically open, because I think it was 41 or 42. It was strictly on their beach. Right. So if they didn't open it and they moved beaches, they're not just going to have them not vote. Do you think that there is that fail safe in this season where if somebody hits a merge, Star gets her vote back? Or because this is something she can carry around, that's on Star?
Well, somebody always like zooms in on the clue. So maybe it does go into that. We just weren't privy to it. It just would seem like it's such a complex puzzle. That's mobile, that there is a possibility it will never be opened. So that just my question is like, what's the time limit on this? Is there a time limit on this? So, I it's possible her tribe never goes to tribal anyway, just based off of how Vula is doing. So,
yeah. Yeah, no. And that's where I'm kind of at. It feels like Star's an obvious boot if purple goes, but the odds of purple going at this point seem very, very low. My number one, though, I am going to go with Kyle. You live as long as he's lived, and who knows how long that wart has been there, and you think that wart is a callus, that tells me that this man has not picked up a shovel. Because when a callus comes, they kind of go away. I mean, unless you're like shoveling all the time. Like, I've had calluses, and my hands are fine now. So the fact that he thought that was a callus for as long as he's had it, warts, I mean, they suck. I've had them, like I said, but then you get rid of them and they're gone and it's great. I'm going to put him at number one because, you know, we might have the same humble trait, except I knew to go get the cream that freezes it off. Like that's the big difference between Kyle and myself. Just go get the thing and push it on your finger and it goes away. I do like his position though, in all seriousness. He has the idol now. He's got the really tight relationship with Camilla. David's not seeing him really as a threat. David is saying, nice guy, not that strategic. wasn't physical like I am, so he couldn't win the challenge. He's not looking at him as some massive target, somebody that needs to go. And then I don't think Mitch or Charity have the power to do anything over there. And Chrissy seems like she's just going to go wherever the numbers go. I feel like Kyle's in a perfect spot. I don't see why they would want to blindside him because he's telling them all about the idol. And I feel like where Say will be aggressive and will be in your face and say, I want to go this way, I want to go that way, that's a stupid idea. I feel like Kyle is a little bit more willing to go with the flow, and that's a great thing to have come merge time because maybe you can use it with him.
All right, Kyle is high up on my list as well. Okay, so do I go to two or do you go to two?
You can go to two. And if you the other thing is too, like if you have like Thomas Joe, you can talk about both of them at the same time. That's fine as well. Cause we'll, you know, if they work together as your 2-3 or something like that, feel free to do so. Or if Kyle was your two, just jump in and be like, that's my two. So there you go.
Okay. And two, I have Chrissy. And now that idols aren't like fancy and big anymore, they're just like a little string of beads. Like what the perfect hiding spot would be a huge belly button. Chrissy, I love Chrissy. I think she's playing a perfect stick around for the long run kind of game. She's on a dominant tribe in a dominant alliance with a lot of bigger physical threats. She's funny, which we're often told is a very underrated trait in the game. You got a lot of downtime on the show, and making people laugh goes a long, long way. So I think Chrissy is super safe.
Yeah, I agree with you that she's super safe. I like the reasoning there. She's just going to hide that idol in her belly button. Right. Wonderful. Yeah, it seems like Chrissy, we haven't heard a lot from her, but every time we do hear from her, she's smiling, laughing, or making others smile and laugh. In episode one, when she says the Charity doesn't talk to me, they both kind of laugh. Who she's talking to in that situation both kind of laugh at the situation of, oh, Chrissy, it feels like she's falling into that underdog, underrated. If she wants to win the game, she'll have to overcome that and at some point take a little bit of control. But right now it seems like her strategy is just survive the pre-merge, get through the pre-merge. You know, in the new era, we have seen older women go very deep in the game, but don't be the older woman who gets voted out really early. Keep going deep, make the relationships, and then just turn it on in a way that some of these older, like Maria turned it on. She just didn't get to the end, but Sue wasn't able to really turn it on to make anything worthwhile happen. So we'll see what Chrissy's able to do, but I like her spot. I don't have her quite at two though. Instead, I have Joe. So I'm going to throw that one up. Also, I'll throw this up for you. Saluka S. Gordon Holmes, thank you for all you do for the community. There you go. Every time we can get your shout outs. Yeah, Gordon's Substack and YouTube channel are both in the description for the video. So make sure you check out everything he's doing and go check out his interview with Stephanie from two weeks ago. It's so worth it.
It's so funny. We were, Phil and I met at the premiere a couple weeks ago, and he approached me and he was like, I don't mean to freak you out, but nice to meet you. And it's like, that's the my funny thing is I've been doing this for years. I'm a theater kid. So like, I've, you know, been on stage and that's how me and my wife met. I am the shyest human being. So whenever like anybody's like, nice, like, oh, like I have to immediately be like, because my heart is being like, thank you very much. So thank you very much.
Yes. Yes. And I'm the opposite. I think I talked to people outside of the Bryson Wendell bar for like 20 minutes and the guys just wanted to say hi. And I was like, well, here, let me tell you everything you need to know about where you live in Los Angeles now.
This happens a lot, by the way. I have a thought and then it just like shoots out of my brain. Don't age. If I could give any recommendation to the audience, just don't age. It's like, it's awful what it does to your brain.
Doing my best. All right. My number two, I have Joe. Joe, great spot. I feel like he's the safest of the California girls right now because Shaheen has the idol clue. Thomas is saying, chuck the idol clue. And Joe is kind of falling into this zone of, okay, I know you all know about it. She told me about it, but I'm not doing anything dastardly with it. I'm just kind of hanging out and I'm letting you all be crazy. The one thing that could be problematic is Star wants to go after Eva. And maybe Joe tries to throw himself at as a vote to protect Eva. Maybe he says, put your vote on me. Don't put your vote on Eva. You know, if Star ends up playing her idol or something like that. I don't know. I don't see how that would work because I don't think Star cares. I think Star's like, I don't like Eva. Get her out of the game. But I feel like Joe is in a really good spot. He's tight with everyone. He's not being viewed as a strategic player right now, which is exactly where you want to be in the pre-merge of the new era. Because I think in the pre-merge of the new era, people come out so hot. And they ended up getting blindsided or they get voted out. Like we saw Kevin get voted out last week for bringing up the fact that Mary's too easy. Let's get rid of Say. Bye, Kevin. You're out. And I feel like if people get too close with too much, I think right now the writing is on the wall with Joe where everybody's looking saying he's with Eva. So, you know, we don't have to worry too much. He feels good with us. He's giving us the info about Star, just like we're giving it to him. Awesome. So I have him at 2, plus he's great at challenges. And, you know, like you were saying, are you just going to start throwing challenges essentially? No. So Joe stays here at number 2, safest one of the California girls.
Yeah, I had Joe super high too. I had him in 3. I watched the Beast Games, which wasn't a great show, but they it was, as they got towards the end, they're talking about like honor and doing the right thing and stuff like that. There was, spoiler alert, towards the beginning of the show, 4 people turned down $1 million because they didn't want to stab a group of people in the back. It's a game. You know, as a Survivor fan, I'm like, oh, fair plays, grandma lies, genius. So, you know, there's, to me, there should be no moral lines in a game like Survivor. Like, obviously, you don't want to hurt people's feelings, but also it's a game. My wife and I just finished Traitors, and they were complaining about swearing on your kids and your grandkids. It's a game. Swear on whatever you want, however many times you want. That doesn't affect me. The only lines you don't cross are like specific rules. That being said, I all these years, like, I don't have lines. I'd go out there, I'd cut throats, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. After all these years, I found my personal line. If I were Joe, I would not stab Eva in the back, which I was shocked that I have a soul. And if Joe boots Eva, I'm going to have a real tough time with that. But I really don't think I have to worry about that. I think he's a good guy. I think Eva picked the right person to trust. I think Joe is locked in with the California girls, and I think he's going to do whatever he can to protect Eva. I think a lot of people like him. Like, obviously he was the first person Star came to, with her secret. So I think he's going to be good until the merge. And if he, oh, so help me. Like, if he, I don't know if I could keep watching. Like, I was
there
shocked.
We
watched it in New York. I was sitting next to Mara Reinstein, who is, I probably just pronounced her last name wrong, even though we're very good friends. She, like, Mara has been to more Survivor locations than almost anybody except for Dalton Ross. And she is hilarious because she, like, has no sympathy for anything ever. During that scene where Eva brought Joe on board and was telling him about, like, holding her hands and things like that, mm-hmm. I was bawling. And Mara just looks over. She's like, are you effing kidding me?
I mean, Gordon, I was sitting next to David, directly behind Joe and Eva, and when that happened, the two of them started like putting their heads, and David's reaching forward, grabbing their shoulders, and I'm like, all right, I just got to keep it cool, my wife's sitting next to me, like, don't look at, yeah, I'm just like, man, the lights are just hitting me straight in the eyes right now. It's so hard to see. Now, that was, and it's funny because, you know, the only time I ever get a text from my mom or dad regarding Survivor is when it's like, oh, I hated that person, or, oh, isn't Jonathan Young so strong? Shouldn't we have more people like Jonathan Young on every season? Like, those are the texts that I get all the time. And I got a text after the premiere on that Wednesday night where they were like, well, we know who we're rooting for. And it was right after that scene had aired. And it's, you know, that is a relationship. It does date back all the way to season 2, right? It's the Roger Elizabeth situation, even to like the extreme though. And I feel like people are connecting with that. And I that's, you know, I felt that the premiere of this season had a lot of highlights and it was a lot of relationship based stuff. And that's good for the show because the relationships are authentic. I mean, you were at Owen's wedding, like you said, like, you know the people, you see how they all interact, Cassidy and Gabler and all that when they're all together. But there is something that just feels so authentic about that Joe Eva situation where there's no game involved there. There is zero game. It is 100%. I'm a human, you're a human. Can we get to the final 2 together? And if we can't, it's going to be because everybody else takes care of business against us. And I'm fine watching that. I really am.
We watched it there. I watched it the next, you know, that following Wednesday, writing my recap, watched it again, then each time, just like, mm-hmm. It works.
And Joe's opening too killed me, knowing what happened with his sister. It's so, I mean, Joe's made me cry numerous times. Thanks, Joe. This episode, he didn't make me cry. And that was good. That was nice. I needed that. I have Cedric at 3. You know, I understand that the Vula tribe is the disaster tribe right now. Say's not coming after Cedric. I don't see any way. It looks like she's following around Mary, trying to prevent her from finding an idol. Mary finds that idol. Bye-bye, Say. I don't see any way that she wants to keep Say. Justin and Cedric would want to vote out Say or Mary. Cedric and Say would want to vote out Justin or Mary. You know, like, Cedric is in every single alliance here. If Mary has all control, he doesn't get voted out. if Say and Cedric want to pull something, they could put out Justin. Justin wants to pull something, he'd go to Cedric, not to Say. He's the glue over there. I feel like he's in a phenomenal spot. And so I'm putting him at number three, which I might regret this come Thursday morning, but this is the only Vula I have ranked very high. And I'm just confident that Cedric really is the middleman.
Well, Phil, great minds think alike, and so do we. In spot four, I have Cedric. The Vula tribe is going down in flames, baby. The new Matt Singh, apparently, which is why loyal fans of the Survivor Specials, I'm going to say this again. If Jeff gives us the opportunity to vote for two tribes, you got to do it. Do it for me. Do it for Phil. Do it for past eight seasons of, you know, one tribe just getting wiped out. Cedric, I think he's the safest of that tribe. And again, comfortable having him very high. Because like you said, if Mary gets an idol, she'll probably go for Say. If, you know, if the Cedric, Say, Justin, they get the idol, then, you know, they're probably going to get, you know, hold on to it and get rid of Mary. It doesn't make a lot of sense to get him. The only way I could see it is if Mary somehow gets in Justin's ear that Cedric is closer to Say than to him, which seems like a long shot at this point. So I have Cedric very safe in spot four.
And part of me wonders, does Mary even want to do that? Or would Mary try to, like, if she's trying to work through this game, you'd want to throw Say under the bus. And then if you can't throw Say under the bus, you would probably just want to work with Cedric. I just feel like Cedric's in with everybody. I don't know. I just don't see that. I get what you're saying. That's the only way he would go, but I just don't see it happening, which is why I have him so confidently hot. My number four, I have David. In honor of how many nipples he has, I put him at four. So I'm ready to go. I am massively impressed with David. I got to sit next to him at the premiere. I saw him again last Wednesday. And like, I there's certain players, like, you meet them and you're like, okay, like, that was nice meeting you one time. Like, we'll move on, whatever, you know, you don't need to like go out of your way. But like David, I'm like, okay, I got to go back and talk to David again. Here we go. Let's talk about everything. And he has massively impressed me on this season thus far. I think he has been one of the highlights, especially when his pregame press, it was, who is this? I could just see Aaron with two N's going, who is this jackass? Like, I could just see it throughout all the pregame press. And now he's been great. And on that tribe, they love him. Everybody likes him. If Charity and Mitch are able to figure out a way, I know Kyle has the idol, but if Charity and Mitch can use the block of vote to figure something out, David's not who they're booting. No way they're going after David. He's a physical powerhouse. He strategically is very good. I think he's in a phenomenal spot right now. I never thought that I would rank this guy as high as I did, but I'm putting him at number four, and I feel like he could be a sneaky, sneaky, sneaky winner pick right now. I think there's other people, you know, I don't look at Edgic because Edgic just makes stuff up and then like always gets it wrong unless the season's spoiled. So I look at what I think the edit is. And right now, David's edit is saying to me, okay, is this a guy who's actually going to be sitting at final three? Like, that would probably be as shocking to me as when Aubrey did it back in Koerong. Two opposite ends, but that's how shocked I would be if he ends up sitting at Final Tribal Council based on his pregame stuff.
I adore David. I do not have him as high as you do. To me, he's always there's some people that there's always going to be a reason. Like, there's always going to be a reason to get rid of David. And I know they're still in the team immunity side, but I don't think they're intimidated by Vula at all. I think he's safe, but I think there's always going to be a reason to get him.
Yeah.
Just because he is so likable and so charismatic that, like, oh, I, like, you know, you get to the point where on day, you know, one of Nicaragua, they're like, I don't want to go to the end with a girl with one leg, so let's get rid of her now. And it's like, pump your brakes, buddy. There's still 38 mm-hmm. days between now and then. Always reason to get rid of David. I had Justin in spot five, which maybe not the best idea because, you know, Vula probably is going to tribal council. I just can't imagine a scenario where he gets the boot. You know, like I said, Mary finds an idol and somehow targets Justin instead of Say, just doesn't make sense. I think Mary's only play would be to Justin. If she has even picked up on the fact that Cedric and Say are so close. So Justin in five, maybe not the smartest, considering I do think that tribe is going back to tribal, but if they do, I don't think it's going to be him.
Yeah, he's the second highest person I have from Vula, but just based, like, I don't know where did I have Kevin last week? I didn't have Kevin that low. And I had him, I think I had him maybe like 11 or 12 just because I thought the tribe was going, but out of 17, that's really, you're not doing that well in a power rankings game for getting 11 points week one. Right. And so I just feel like there's so much chaos that can happen there. And with these small tribes, it's so easy for one little thing to just throw everything out of whack. If there's a journey this week, who knows what advantage somebody could get? And that could throw everything on its head. Mary has her vote back. Who knows? So I have Justin a little bit lower than this, but I do agree with you that he is the second safest person on this tribe. So my number five, I finally have Shaheen. So Shaheen, I have at number five, right behind David. Again, pretty much everything you already said with number one. And I don't have Thomas far behind here. It's just I feel a little bit better about Shaheen because nobody's having a nobody's had a confessional about Shaheen the way Shaheen had a confessional about Thomas. And that was, he's playing the game a little bit crazier than I'm willing to play. I was not expecting that from him. But Thomas has – nobody's had that about Shaheen, which is why I give Shaheen the edge here over Thomas. So Shaheen's my five.
Okay. And six, I have Kyle. A big week for Kyle between the never-ending callus and finding an idol. If things do go south on his tribe, I think David's the more likely target. Like I said, he's very fit, very likable. Someone you're not going to want to face at the end. I think Kyle is in a fantastic spot right now. If any members of Vula actually make it to the merge, they're going to hear about how Kyle stepped up to help Kevin during the supplies challenge. So I think he's got that going for him as well. Obviously, he's close with Camilla. They're part of the dominant alliance. It's just, you know, and the block of vote isn't enough to cause enough damage in a six-person tribe. So mm-hmm. I think Kyle is very safe.
Yeah, that was the big argument that we were having. Was not even an argument, but it felt like, well, there's no doubt that the steal a vote is more powerful than the block a vote. But then somebody said, well, you can play the block a vote in secret. You can't play the steal a vote in secret. Most of the time, the steal a vote, you pull it from somebody. But that still leaves me saying the steal a vote is so much more powerful than the block a vote, because if you're on a six person tribe and you're in the bottom, you can't flip the game just with a block a vote. You can flip the game with a steal a vote, and all you need is one other person. And I think that's really what, you know, when I'm looking at Mitch's situation here, I still feel like Charity's at the bottom, so Charity would be in trouble. But where does Mitch get himself in trouble here? You know, this week, probably not. But then the next week, if he is fifth, how does he overcome that with a block of vote? I just don't see it happening. So, yeah. So Kyle's definitely in a good spot. And that's where I have Chrissy at six. So I'm going Siva here. I have Chrissy at six. Feeling really good about her spot, and don't think there's any way, even if that block vote did work, that they're targeting Chrissy, although Charity's not talking to Chrissy, so maybe I'm missing that. But the idol's been found, and we know that the idol's been found, so we know that the idol's not going to end up in the hands, at least from what New Era's done. There haven't been multiple idols on starting tribes, so we know that the idol's not going to end up in the hands of Charity or Mitch. They got to work. I'm feeling good about where Chrissy's at.
Yeah, right next to her buddy Kyle in spot seven, I have Camilla. Again, great job cracking open that cryptex. She's another one I think is in a super spot right now. That foursome just seems like it's gonna be tough to crack. You know, like I said, we don't have a great idea of why, you know, they're so against a name just shot out of my brain, Charity. It's so bad. Never age. Here's the thing. This is a little known fact about me. I used to be a professional wrestler. That's how I helped pay for college. Don't let people hit you with chairs. That's more advice if you want to have good memory later in life. But yeah, I think that that four person alliance is going to be tough to break, especially just because Charity's so much on the outs. And the fact that Mitch kind of didn't get a pass for being close to her, like that was enough of a reason to kind of put him on the outs too. Just goes to say like how strongly they are against her. Yeah. So I think, you know, Kyle and Camilla are kind of like in the best spot in that four person alliance. You know, like we don't know if Chrissy and David are close. You know, it tends to break down into twos, so maybe they are. But I think Camilla's super safe for right now.
Yeah, I have Camilla at eight, so I'm gonna get one spot ahead of you here. I have Camilla at eight, and I have Thomas at seven. So I have Thomas at seven because I just feel like Loggy's not gonna lose, and Thomas is really the only one we've seen talking to Bianca, which I think gives him an advantage there. We haven't seen anybody else really bond with Bianca. So if Star does find the idol and starts going after somebody, like I said, I think she goes after Eva, but I think the others would be smart enough to split the vote between somebody else. Thomas isn't going to be that person because there is a California Girls Alliance. Bianca would be the person, but Thomas is close enough with Bianca at this point that maybe he could flip that. So he seems like he's close with four people on that tribe, where everybody else is close with three, at least from what the edit is telling us. But yeah, I have Camilla right there at spot eight. I think Camilla's in a great spot. I mean, how much closer can her and Kyle be than her doing the Cryptex thing for him and then handing him the idol and being like, good job, here we go, let's go through, like,
go team.
It's as good as it gets for both of them.
And Spotted AF Thomas, so we kind of flip-flopped. Yeah. Whenever we get to Survivor location, they give us bios. Sometimes they end up being on CBS.com, and there's always the one question, like, which player are you most like? And everybody who's an a-hole is like, oh, I'm like a cross between, like, Ozzy's challenge prowess and, like, Parvati's social game and, like, Boston Rob's ability to run the show. If I'm ever cast, I think I might say Thomas. At least he's what I'd want to play like. Maybe that's me thinking more of my abilities than I have. In the first episode, when they were waiting to hear, when they were introducing themselves, he hung back and kind of waited to hear from everybody else so he could kind of tailor his narrative to fit in with the tribe, I think is genius. And I'm sure people have done it before, but just the way he verbalized it really stuck out to me. He's got the California Girls Alliance. He's got Bianca. The only thing against him is, like you said, did that kind of like put up a flag when he came up with something that was kind of underhanded and getting rid of her clue? Was that Star's clue? Was that too hardcore? But yeah, I am 100% Team Thomas. Love him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was my preseason winner pick, and I'm still sticking with him as my preseason winner pick. I'm just putting him lower because is he going to be? I mean, Star does come to him and say, I want to talk game. And his exact reaction was, I've been waiting 5 days for you to come and talk game with me. Please, let's sit down. Let's do this. It's a perfect reaction. It is mm-hmm. the perfect reaction. So maybe Shaheen is onto him, but Star's not onto him. So if Star does find this idol, I keep going back to Star finding the idol, but if Star finds this idol and she does elect to play it, she's not using it on Thomas. Thomas is really good, I feel like, at playing this. You know, I'm your best friend. It's fine. Everything's great. Kind of worries me, you know, kind of worries me. Like, you know, Thomas, hey, look, he's in a very competitive industry there out in the music industry in LA. You love everybody. I'm a music executive. Sure. Like, ruin my. You never know. So I feel good about Thomas's spot. And yeah, why don't you go ahead of me again and get up to number 9?
Okay. And 9, I have Bianca just, you know, tying it up with Thomas. Like we said, we haven't gotten to see much of her. Again, sometimes that's the curse of the successful tribe. California Girls running the show. Joe is going to have Eva's back. Thomas will have Bianca's back. And nobody is going to have Star's back. So I think Bianca is relatively safe this week. A lot would hinge on, is Star ever able to get a hold of that idol and get her vote back?
Yeah, yeah. And even if Star gets her idol, this is the question that Will and I brought up to each other on our recap. If Star gets the idol, has everybody made her feel comfortable enough that if they go to tribal, she wouldn't play it anyway and would still go home? And that's what it feels like to me.
Well, you would hope that the fact that she literally told everybody on the tribe except for Eva that she has it, that she would feel comfortable enough.
Yeah. So I feel like she's gonna get too comfortable and then potentially just go home whether she finds it or not. I have Justin at 9. Again, it's been really weird for me. So I am big at looking at confessionals, and to the people who put the confessional list together, I always thank them because I love looking at this. And Will's always, you look at that too much. I love looking at it. And right now, Say has 28 confessionals through 2 episodes. Justin has 5. Cedric has 5. Mary has 7. I think everybody on the other tribes, with the exception of Chrissy and Bianca, have more than Justin, Cedric, and Mary. So when I sit there and I look at this, I say, why aren't Cedric and Justin and Mary getting more screen time when they've lost both challenges to Start? And they went to the tribal council in a 2-hour premiere and then went to tribal council in an hour and a half episode. So for as comfortable as I should feel with Justin, I'm still putting him right here in the middle because part of me says if Justin was going to be end game and overcome this, we saw the Denise and Malcolm edit. We saw that happen. We've seen that even in the newer era when a tribe goes down. You know, we saw Ricard and Shan get a lot of screen time in 41. Just to not get it, to have Justin be as low as he is when he was the one who said last week, well, why don't we just vote out Kevin? Why didn't we get more detail from that from him? So that's why I have him at 9. And that's why I'm still a little bit concerned for him coming into this week.
Yeah. And 10, I have David. And I love David, full stop, end of sentence. Survivor needs villains. Like I said, I'm a wrestling guy and you need the yin to the yang. They cheered Hulk Hogan because they hated Roddy Piper. When Kyle came back from the supplies challenge and David was like, I probably would have won it. I don't need to hear about his surplus of nipples. and how it relates to his love of milk. But other than that, huge David fan. And like I said before, I think he's probably good this week. I think he's probably good for a while, but he's the biggest personality on his tribe. I don't think he's ever truly safe. If something random were to happen, an advantage, you know, something hits the fan, etc. So that's the only reason David is this low. I'm 98% positive he's going to be fine.
Yeah. And did you see the meme that somebody put out of David saying his thing about milk and then Purple Kelly under him saying we have to get our own milk or something like that? We have to milk our own milk right below David up there with his forenip. Oh my God, it was so good. So good.
Do you want to hear my, speaking of Purple Kelly, my absolute worst pregame take from being out of Survivor?
If it's Purple Kelly related, I'm ready.
When we did the pregame for Nicaragua, it's actually Nayanka related. I remember speaking with Nayanka. What we do is we do the interviews and then like we break for lunch and then all the press gets together and like kind of compares notes. And I just interviewed Nayanka and they're like, what do you think of Nayanka? And I'm like, she's too nice for this game. It's gonna eat her up. Like she is wonderful. I love her. I just don't think she's got it in her to be this cutthroat. I don't always get it right.
So you're really good at reading people. Okay, yeah. I'll take that leg off and smack her in the head with it.
Yeah, right. You imagine me, because I didn't see any of I went home to Pennsylvania thinking Nayanka was like the nicest person, and then watching the premiere and being like, oh, I was off.
On still one of my favorite confessionals of all time is her fart confessional. It's like, what just happened? Like, they just ran her through the coals after she started ripping, and they were like, you know what? You quit. We are making you look bad. And I think she did enough to make herself look bad too. But yeah. Wow. Gordon, so who did you think was too nice for the game on this season? So I know to rank them at 16 right now.
I know, right? Who knows? It's when Joe cuts Eva loose and I can't watch the show anymore. Yeah, that's what it'll be.
I'm glad we got you in before that.
Retired from Survivor. It was Joe.
Yeah.
Joe did it.
Yeah. And not Del Campo. Man, unreal. Here we go. All right. I have Eva at 10. Look, I get that she is the other name coming up, but I think in the premiere episode, there was a very important confessional that happened, and it was from Thomas, where Thomas said, I love Bianca. We're trying to figure out our fourth, but the other guys like Eva and they want Eva. So I think it should be Bianca, but it's probably going to be Eva. It was, you know, I'm paraphrasing obviously, but it was something like that. And I think that was very telling of if Star finds the idol and they do elect to split votes, we are going to get a 3-2-1, in my opinion, of three on Star, two, or maybe it's a 2-2-2, however they want to do it. But I think it's gonna be a 3-2-1 of three on Star. I think that they're going to blindside Bianca and put two on Bianca, and only Star is going to vote for Eva. Or Bianca thinks it's going to be her and she also votes for Eva, and we get a 2-2-2, but Thomas betrays her. And then if Star plays her idol, it's Bianca who goes home instead of Eva. I think that Shaheen and I think that Joe will protect Eva over Bianca. So I'm putting Eva here. I think no matter what happens with Star's idol, these are gamers, right? Even if Thomas hadn't watched the show much before this, even if Joe's coming in as a person who, you know, was more like a tertiary watcher of the show, Shaheen knows the game well enough. Bianca knows the game well enough. And Bianca's just going to get got here, I feel like, because Shaheen's going to say, well, wait a second. We want to keep the four of us intact. Don't worry about Bianca. That's going to be the person. So I'm going with Eva here, because if Star tries to go after her and plays the idol, Eva's going to survive anyway.
That is a excellent point, my friend. I had Eva in 11. You know, the greatest lesson a survivor can learn from legendary two-time winner and Hall of Famer Sandra Diaz-Twine. Some people think it's anybody but me, but I think it's don't throw anybody's name out. When I was out there for Game Changers, I caught this live, and it was amazing. People kept pressing Sandra for names, and she didn't refused to give a name, but the way she would flip the conversation to make the other person put out a name was awe-inspiring. I kind of went to Game Changers without respect for Sandra's game, because obviously she's a two-time winner, but not a full appreciation for it. And it was the first time I'd ever talked, we did Exit Press for Heroes versus Villains, but that's a winner interview, which is always kind of fluffy. It was the first time to really get into her brain and just being so impressed. So if you ever go out on Survivor, don't say anybody's name ever. And I know Eva was just talking about a challenge when she brought up Star's name, but it really doesn't matter. Just putting anybody in a negative light is all going to raise their red flags and point them towards you. So Eva's in Star's sight. I don't think Star has the ammo to take Eva out without the idol. I just have Eva low just in case. And again, it'll break my heart if it happens. So,
and Eva said coming out into the game in her pregame press that her biggest challenge was going to be figuring out how to read the social situations, because that is the part, like, with having autism that affects her the most. And that's why she needs help with other people to be like, you know, I might be talking to you and I don't realize that you're lying to me or that you're joking or something like that. I feel like this was a moment where she was just saying, Star, I'm both, like, I think you should sit out. And in her mind, she's playing hockey with her friends or with her team or anything like that. You're not doing that well. You should sit out. And Star really took that to heart. And I think that this was always going to be a duo that was going to have some confrontation. And I think what's crazy, and maybe I'm totally misreading this, I, you know, I'll say that out there, but I don't think Eva meant anything by it. I just think this was the first instance of us seeing Eva not necessarily understanding the social dynamic as well as it seemed like she was going to, because in the first episode, I'm sitting there going, okay, Eva, like, you're going to run this game anyway. Like, you're doing great. And then in this episode, there was that one moment. And I think you're right. We saw Kevin go home later in the episode for throwing somebody's name out. Just go with the flow a little bit. It's not too bad to go with the flow.
There's nowhere to hide in a 6-person tribe, but you know, and maybe this is arrogance on my part, but I think it's tough to get voted out first.
Yeah.
With Stephanie's, you know, big sin when Say came to her to talk strategy, she didn't talk strategy. It's just go with the flow. If someone brings that energy to you, give it to them right back and have those kinds of conversations. So, like I said, that might be, you know, it's always a, I'm very good at playing Survivor on my couch kind of conversation, but it feels like, you know, if you have a basic understanding and can feel the vibe of your tribe, and if they're going fast, you go along with them or pull back. And maybe that's because, you know, I was always the new kid in school and got very good at blending in real quick. So,
I think that's a great point. I think that's a great point. And Stephanie just didn't want to talk to Say, and there she goes and she's out. And I feel like Star is definitely having the hardest time right now with the not talking, or with the talking strategy, and like kind of just fitting along. It seemed like she was like, oh, I don't feel right here with this tribe, so I'm going to go run away.
Yeah, if somebody comes talk strategy to you, if you don't talk strategy back, they will go find somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that did do Stephanie in. She sat on her hands too hard there. My number 11 is Bianca. I feel like she should be in a better spot, but she just isn't. We got the deleted scene of her talking about, they won't stop talking about sports. I don't know how to talk to these people. And that was deleted though. So part of me is like, they don't even want to give us that much about Bianca. She's she said her humble trait is being purpled on Survivor. That's what she said the other day. So we haven't heard much from her. And so from what I'm seeing, she just feels expendable to the edit of especially the Loggy tribe. We've got a lot of time with them for a tribe that keeps winning. So I'm not feeling great about Bianca, but I only have her one spot below Eva in case my theory of Eva is incorrect.
In 12, I have Mitch. I'm very big on treating people how they want to be treated. So I really kind of loved it when Jeff asked Mitch how he wanted people to respond to his stuttering. I got emotional again. I've always been like emotional in the sense that if you put on like a League of Their Own, the scene where Marla Hooch's dad is like, I know she's not so pretty as these other girls. Waterworks. But since I've become a father, it is like infinity times worse. So that had me going. Mitch, really a tale of two episodes. You know, he, you know, succeeded at the Island of Excessive Advantages. He was hooping it up at the challenge. And then he came back and got outed as Charity's buddy, and which is a bad place to be on SIVA. So, I couldn't, like, I don't know what the angle is to go for Charity over to Mitch over Charity, unless it's, we can always get Charity later. Let's get Mitch now. I just have him this low because obviously he's on the outs with that form. So
I have Mitch in the same spot. He ended up winning a player of the week over on like all winner survivors. I'm always looking at Instagram, especially on a 6-hour flight. We went JetBlue at least, so we had Wi-Fi, but for some reason we couldn't fly over the Gulf. We had to go way north, and we're in like the middle of Alabama flying to South Florida. I'm like, how is that happening from LA? So I was just scrolling through Instagram and stuff the whole flight. I'm just like, please, somebody.
If I crash, I'd much rather go in the Gulf than Alabama. That's not a knock on Alabama. I don't think Alabama's a soft landing. That's what my father is from Alabama. Abbeville, okay. Alabama, actually.
Really? I've been Alabama.
Bobby Joe. What was from
Bobby John?
Bobby John was from there. He did Power Rankings once. We had one season where we CBS hooked it up where I had a different person every week, and we bonded over Abbeville, Alabama. Small world. Good guy.
That's crazy. That's crazy. So now you know everybody here knows two people from Abbeville, Alabama. There you go. But yeah, I feel like Mitch wins Player of the Week, which has been controversial because now saying. How much do I have to do? That's 2 weeks in a row. Say didn't win Player of the Week, and Say is getting heated over it. And I don't really blame her. I mean, she was told, she's showing that she has the social game to be told what's up. And, you know, that's kept her in the game for two episodes now. And she found an idol in the first episode, broke Tony Vlachos' record for most confessionals in an episode. So, like, what more does Say need to do? But I really appreciated Mitch's challenge performance because this is the kind of thing back when we used to have live reunions, which definitely is coming back for 50. There's no way people are voting for the other thing more. But when we had, thank God, when we used to have the live reunions, this would be something Jeff would highlight. And even if Mitch finished 16th place, Jeff would turn around and say, all right, Mitch, let's talk about this moment that you had and what a win that was for you and how this was so exciting and what that meant for you, especially with all you've gone through in your life, blah, blah, blah. That would have been awesome. And instead, that's probably the only time we're going to see it unless Mitch gets to the end and sits there at Final Tribal Council and pitches his argument. But I hope people remember this moment with Mitch because he came in and it seemed like he didn't miss. It seemed like he just went out there and sunk all of them and he led them to the victory. And I thought that was a great moment and really exciting. And the fact that Eva did it on the other side, Eva versus Mitch, and they're having these massive moments. Again, this is live reunion stuff to me. So I still feel like Mitch is okay. My biggest concern with Mitch is just that if Charity pulls some shenanigans, Mitch is still one of the bottom two people on that tribe. They all know that he went, that he was very open about the advantage that he gave them, but maybe they're still a little wary of Mitch for some reason. David had a confessional where he said something along the lines of, I trust Mitch, but he's playing this game really hard. That worries me a little bit for him because maybe they don't feel that Charity is playing as hard. So Mitch at number 12, still higher up than four other people, but you know, you were saying earlier, 98% sure David survives. I'm more like 75% sure that Mitch survives this episode.
Those percentages are very scientific, so you can take those to the bank. Yes. Speaking of, I have Charity in spot 13. I don't know why. I don't know why she's on the outs other than her feet. I wish, and again, the curse of tribes not going to tribal council. I think she's the lowest member of the tribe, which is in my notes says Siva. She's the lowest member of Siva, meaning if they go, she goes. That's basically all I have to go off of, is that it seems like she is persona non grata on that beach.
Yeah, I like to do one person from each tribe in my bottom three spots, which I probably shouldn't do.
I usually do that, but when I have a tribe that's pooping the bed, the way Vula is, sometimes I'll stack them based on that.
Yeah, so maybe I should have Say lower, but I have Say at 13. I'm going with her here, and then I have one from each tribe below this. Here's why I have Say here. I know that some people are going to say, well, Say could easily go this week, and she easily could. Easily. We're into the zone of anybody of these last four I could see going home. The reason why I have Say here above Mary, if you were going to vote out Say, you would have just done it last week. That's my opinion. You would have just done it last week. Now, if Mary goes and finds an idol, Say's toast. But also, we have seen now, these idols aren't just pick up an idol. This isn't Lauren O'Connell tripping over a sock. This is, you have to find something, pick it up, open it up, look through, figure out a puzzle, whatever it is. Mary's saying in the last challenge, she's not very good at puzzles, right? So maybe that is something that could hurt Mary overall if she has to figure something out in this episode. So she won't get this idol as quickly. I feel like the only way Say goes home is if Mary gets the idol. I do not see her getting the majority of votes in the situation because I do think that Cedric truly wants to play the game with her. And I feel like Justin is kind of going to be at the mercy of what Cedric wants to do this episode. Because if he says, well, I want to go with Mary, Cedric's going to say, well, I'm not going to. So what are we going to have them do? Make fire? And I don't know, would they make fire at Final Four in a six-person starting alliance or tribe? I don't know. But we might find out this week, but I just don't see how three votes get on Say when Cedric went to Say last week and said, play your idol. Now she doesn't have an idol, so why would you be threatened by her? You're threatened by her when she has one. You're not threatened now, so I'm feeling good about her spot.
Yeah, I agree. Like, only an outside chance of Mary getting to Justin. And, like, that's – I still think it's a super long shot. And 14, I have Star. I like the idea of landing on the beach, meeting everybody, then letting players come to me. I think that's a way to make alpha types feel like they're in control because they're leading the conversation, which I'm perfectly happy, you know, playing from underneath while someone else is taking all the shots. So I get Star's instinct to wait for the game to come to her, but like, I'd wait like half a day, maybe. She went like a whole 3 days and nobody's talking strategy to her. It's kind of like in poker where if you're at the table and you don't know who the mark is, you're the mark. So yeah, she might be a little late to the dance at this point. And telling the whole wide world about her idol probably wasn't the smartest idea either. I don't think she's done for because I think it's possible Loggy hits the merge without ever going to tribal. But I think if she doesn't get that idol, I think and they go to tribal, I think she is donezo.
I totally agree. So I have Charity at 14 and then I have Say at 15. So I'm going a different route there. I'm saying Charity 14 because based on what we've seen on Orange, we know the hierarchy there, but we don't necessarily see them strategizing much. It has been the fun tribe. It's kind of giving me the what was the name of the tribe in Philippines, the red tribe with like Carter and Jonathan and all of them. I forget what their tribe was, but every time we cut to them, it was never worth strategizing. It was like, wow, look at us. We're doing something kind of silly because we're not going to tribal council forever. You know, like we're never going to go as a tribe to tribal. So Calabal, I got there.
My brain was like, you're never going to get me to remember tribe names unless it's like Tagi or Pagan.
Yeah.
Or...
yeah. Exactly. But I'm normally not very good with tribe names. That one, I don't know why that came. But anyway, so that's where I feel like we're getting fun. With purple, all of a sudden, we're starting to get strategy. We're still having fun, but there's more strategy talk. That could be the editors in season 47 did a phenomenal job, I felt, of telling multiple episode stories, right? They went into the HBO realm of things instead of the CBS realm of things. It used to feel like with the hour episodes and then, you know, especially in the new era, it would be, okay, this is what happened this week. I hope you all forgot about everything we just talked about because now we're going to tell you a new story. And you would still get into relationships. But in terms of overarching stories of why somebody would go home, it felt like a lot of it was coming up at one time. Last season, I thought with Genevieve's story with Saul and how that was going to put her behind the eight ball and how that led to Operation Italy, I felt like that was brilliant. I felt like there was so much of that happened throughout the season. So when I look at this, I'm like, are they setting us up? And they wanted to give us a two-episode goodbye Star send-off, maybe. And this really did feel like, when I was watching last week's episode, I thought Purple was going home. I really did. I thought Purple was going to Tribal Council, and I was about to be shocked. But they showed so much of Purple last week. And so that's why I put Star at 15, because I do feel like they are more in danger of going to Tribal. And then I'll just kill my ranking so that you can do your 15, 16 at the same time. But I have Mary at 16 for all the reasons I already said.
Mary, she's perfectly safe. But I always feel like if I see too much of a tribe before tribal, that they're going to be safe. That's kind of how I felt this past week.
Okay.
So I have Say and 15. I think the Say and Cedric alliance is the strongest thing going on Vula Beach right now. It would have been really easy for him to let her go home. And then they'd still have a spare person to vote out with Mary. I think Say's got a lot of Tony Vlachos in her, said it before, which I'm here for. She's a fast, aggressive player, which I love. Sometimes those players can burn out quick. I think she is safe this week unless, again, Mary manages to find that idol. I said the outside chance if Mary could pick up that Cedric and Say our ride or dies, she might be able to do something with Justin, but that seems like the longest of long shots. And in 16, shocker, Mary. Somehow she managed to survive being on the bottom of Vula without a vote. I think the only thing that can save her now is that idol. Again, Justin is as an outside shot, but with Kevin gone, I just don't have very high hopes for her success.
I think the Kevin boot was brilliant by Cedric here, because even though it was Justin's idea, I do feel like with Cedric being as close to Say as he is now, there is no way to overthrow you. There is no way to overthrow you. I don't think Justin realizes that he gave himself less options fewer options, I guess, by keeping Mary over, Kevin. I think Justin's going to end up regretting that at some point. But yeah, Say goes home if Mary finds the idol. That's my opinion, because I think she'll just be like, I'm voting for Say. Justin and Cedric, do it with me because you have no chance of surviving, and Say's not going to have a say in that situation. But I still feel, for some reason, I'm feeling like Mary's not going to get this done. I don't know.
So yeah, it's very possible that this Thursday, if you visit my YouTube channel, you can hear Mary give a word association term for Stephanie.
Oh my God. When she said,
if you don't know what I'm talking about, Stephanie used a very foul curse word in the most loving way in Stephanie's defense. But it was the first time I ever had to bleep that word before. It was very sad.
I'm going to tell you, when I started following you, people weren't saying that word even in a loving way. Now look how far we've come as a society. I know,
look at us. Well, British people love that word. Yeah. So in their defense.
Yeah. But yeah, Steph, when you said that, you're like, you say whatever you want.
Because I'd heard it all. I was not at all, and don't get me wrong, I've heard that swear word many times, but just to hear it in that context was like, that's not what I was anticipating. Good on you, Stephanie, for being a groundbreaker.
Yeah. Well, before we jump into that stuff, I just have to ask you one more question. Who's your winner pick for the season? Come on. Now,
this season,
I know we have. Yeah, who you got? Who you got? If I'm putting you on the spot.
I'm going to say Thomas, not because I think he's going to, I just love Thomas. And end of sentence. Love Thomas. Again, I, you know, we all fantasize about getting out there and what we would do and et cetera. And I like him a lot. I think his brain works the way my brain works, because I was thinking the same thing, to lose the key. So is he going to win? I don't know. But he's I'll say he's my favorite, and he's who I'm going to be rooting for. How about that? That's what we'll say.
Hey, and that's his best way of choosing a winner as any, huh? Yep. So where can people find all of this? I know you do you do the exit press and everything. Where can people find all of your coverage of this?
Yeah. Every Wednesday after the episode, GordonHolmes.substack.com. You can find immediately my thoughts on every episode, as well as individual letter grades for each one of the players. And then on YouTube, Gordon Holmes exit press every Thursday afternoon. When I used to go out to Survivor, I used to take this camcorder, and it had the little tapes that I didn't know what to do with. It had this box of little tapes, and I made it my goal to finally get them, because all this stuff ended up on Comcast and then vanished when they changed systems. So there's all this pregame interviews from Gabon, from from Nicaragua, from South Pacific, that just vanished off of the internet. So fortunately, I was able to finally get send the tapes out, and got them back, and started dumping the Gabon stuff, and then got distracted. Having a kid will do that to you. It will take away all of your free time. So hopefully I'm going to get back to that again this summer. There's a lot of really cool pregame footage and interviews with Probst and behind the scenes challenge stuff and things like that. I'm hoping to get back on that channel. So if you're an old school Survivor fan, there's just a lot of weird stuff I'm hoping to finally get out to the world, sometime this summer. So check out my YouTube channel.
Do you spoil who is the winner? Are any of those things spoilery? You don't put in your thumbnails or anything who won or what place they finished on Gabon? The reason I'm asking is we're up to my Gabon rewatch, and my wife has never seen the seasons. So she's about to watch Gabon, and because she watched Winners at War with me, she knows who most of the winners of the seasons are. This is one where she doesn't, and I want it to be as chaotic as possible for her. So she's probably going to listen to this.
That's a good chaotic season. I don't think I do. Right? I think it's just here is Bob Crowley's pregame interview. Mm-hmm. Here is Corinne Kaplan's pregame interview.
I love that, because the only one she knows anything about is Sugar. So I'm excited. I might have her watch some of this stuff to see who do you think would win out of this group of crazies? Because I think that's really the only way to define Gabon at this point.
Well, that's funny that you mentioned your parents will text you we don't like this person. My mom watches Survivor, and she has this amazing knack for hating whoever I've actually become friends with.
Mm-hmm.
Corinne is such a bitch, and I'm I adore Corinne. I will turn against the family for my love for Corinne. So I'm hoping I'll be able to finally get around to getting all that stuff out there, because it's weird to even me watching it just to see how far I've come question wise and doing it all. So it's cool stuff. I was excited to see it again.
I'm excited. I mean, please get Nicaragua up now, because I want to hear what your pregame interview with Nayanka was that made you think she was going to be the nicest person to ever play. So I want to hear that.
Oh my gosh. That's the thing. It's like, I always say, and I said this to Jeff once, and he stole the analogy from me. Survivor is just like a cup of marbles. And then like Jeff just dumps them, and how do you have any idea? Cause whenever anybody's like, oh, they fix it for this person or that person, I always have a tough time believing that. Cause it's like, A, then why do we have bad winners, you know, every now and then? And then also some of this stuff is just so random. Like, how would you possibly know it was going to go that direction? So,
yeah, no, I agree with that. The rigging conversations always make me angry, and yeah, it just makes me sad. It makes me sad. The rigging stuff makes me so sad, because I know a lot of people who have worked on the show now. Obviously,
if you would rig it, you would do a better. Like, why does
Natalie's not beating Russell if the show is rigged?
Right. It's just that
way. Let's put it the simplest terms. Right. That's not happening if the show is rigged. 100%. Russell's your 2-time winner.
But that's what they want us to think, Phil.
Yeah. I know. Sure. And I'm sure they were stoked during 41 when they were editing that season, going, "Oh shit!" but anyway. Well, Gordon, I know we said we'll do about an hour, and here we are at an hour and 28 minutes. So
I get going. I apologize.
I mean, that's what we do.
I start with my friends' references, man. I got to keep going.
I know. But that's what happens. You don't start the power rankings until 30 minutes in. And when you have 16 people left, this is how it goes.
Have me back when it's final five, and it'll be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for joining. This was awesome. I'm so happy I was able to meet you and have you on, and we were able to do this early in the season. And you know, I look forward to whatever you're putting out next. And give a taste here. What was your letter grade for Say last week?
I think I want to say it was pretty high, because she could have easily freaked out, right? She could have blown up that whole tribe. And I think a lot of people have that instinct. So I think I was very impressed by her ability to be like, what do we do, Cedric? Instead of being like, let's get Kevin. Because it seemed like she wanted to do that. But then it seemed like, you know, Justin came along and kind of threw that out there. I think how she like she's an intense player. She's coming in hot, which is great. But like the fact that she had the emotional maturity to be like, let's figure like, okay, well, let's get married, like we'd planned, and et cetera. I think that spoke very well of her, because I think there are a lot of players who would immediately go to Kevin and be like, WTF, why did you do this? Blah, 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 blah. And she absolutely didn't do that. So I think that spoke very well of her. So I imagine I probably gave her like an A- or something like that. Like, I was very impressed.
There you go. There's the taste of the letter grades over on Substack. Go check that out, everybody. Otherwise, like this video, subscribe to the channel. The likes really help. So if you've made it this far, please like the video. We have a bunch of people watching. So if you're here, like the video. Also, patreon.com/thespecialists. If you want to hear us dive into Every Season Matters, right now we are doing fans versus favorites. So we are in one of the best seasons. We're talking all about the cast and the theme and everything. Got 8 episodes of that. We've already put out 3 of them. So make sure to check that out. And then we get into Gabon, and then Token Chains, and then Samoa, and then Heroes Villains. So I don't know why you wouldn't want to be a part of this over the next 4 months, 5 months. Also doing my after show Power Rankings game, which we're doing for our top tier patrons fantasy game. If you missed the first week of Power Rankings, but you want to get involved in this, you can sign up. All it takes is one blind side, and it's back to being wide open. So, you know, jump in, sign up, patreon.com/thespecialist. Do an Australian Survivor over there too. Talking about Brains versus Braun 1 right now, while McKenna and I talk Brains versus Braun 2 over here on the YouTube channel. But we'll be back Wednesday night, normal time, after the episode, just like we usually do. Last week was a one-off because we were at the Bryce and Wendell event. But next week, Wednesday night, Will and I will be live right after. So make sure you tune into that. And otherwise, that's all I got. Subscribe, like, and we will see y'all next time. I like the finger point. That's going
to be better. I really want to